For those of you who are taking thesis seminar, remember to try to triangulate your data sources. I'm Benjamin Stewart at BenjaminLStewart.org. Today is March 22nd, 2021. Today I want to talk about triangulating your data sources. As you guys are getting into collecting your information, collecting your data, I want to remind everyone the importance of including at least two, preferably three different types of data sources when you are collecting your data. This is going to apply specifically to those who are doing qualitative research. Most of you are doing either a qualitative research study or mixed methods, which would also include in part some qualitative data. So triangulation, this concept applies strictly to qualitative data. It simply means trying to include three different data sources to analyze, to discuss whatever it is that you are focusing on. If you have a few minutes, take a look at this video that goes into greater detail if you need to take a look at that. But I've listed here several different examples of different data sources that you might consider for your own research. We have classroom observations that might include board work, teacher behaviors, what the teacher does, could include student behaviors, what the student does, of course, discourse, class discourse, or students speaking and teacher speaking in the normal conversations that happen in the classroom. Another data source might include teacher interviews, stimulated recall, where maybe you are sitting down with a teacher, looking at a video from a class and asking questions and having the teacher either reflect or describe or explain what the teacher was doing in the class as both of you are watching the video. You have student interviews, teacher focus groups. Focus groups are where you're asking questions to a group of teachers instead of maybe a one-on-one interview. Student focus groups, administrator interviews, administrator focus groups. You might have teacher questionnaires, student questionnaires, maybe you have questionnaires for administrators, and of course parents, maybe in the case of children, or maybe in some cases learners with learning disabilities. Maybe involving the parents in the study might also be an option. So we have parent interviews, parent questionnaires, and parent focus groups. Now also consider any student work, any work that the students are normally doing in the class. This could be in the form of an assignment, homework, projects, handouts, etc. Also, any document or content analysis such as school policy, curriculum, the syllabus, lesson plans, handbooks, manuals, any of this information that you think is relevant to answering your research questions could also be considered a data source. Each one of these examples is a data source. So a school policy is one data source. The curriculum is another data source. In the case of student work, one assignment is a data source. If they have two assignments or three assignments, each one of those assignments is a data source. So potentially you have over 20 types of data sources that you can consider. Now, of course, some of these are going to be more applicable and more relevant to your particular research objectives, your research questions, okay? But I wanted to provide this long list of possible data sources so that you are choosing the best ones for your particular research. All right, so once you have considered the most appropriate types of data that you feel will best answer your research questions, maybe the next question you ask yourself is, well, what is the order? What order should I follow to collect my data? Now, this is going to vary depending on your research questions and depending on the type of data that you're collecting. But one of the decisions you're going to need to make is whether or not you need to do an intervention. So ideally, the best case scenario would be that you do not need to do an intervention. You do not need to make suggestions or interfere any more than you need to. Realize that just your presence there, just through your observations, you are in a way influencing their behavior. But the idea is to try to I keep that to a minimum and try not to be a burden on the participants. And again, you want them to try to conduct their classes and participate in the class as they normally would. All right, so try to keep that in mind, and hopefully you know something about your participants when you're choosing them, so that they're likely to provide you the data that you need to answer your research questions. Now, sometimes this will happen where students will get into the research process and realize that the classes that they're observing, maybe the interviews that they're having, perhaps even the questionnaires, are not providing the information or the data that they need. This is when you need to decide to do an intervention. All right, so if you're deciding to do an intervention, the idea is to gradually work up to the intervention, right? So we want to start by maybe intervening just a little bit to see what the teacher, for example, or the students or the participants more generally can do on their own. So sometimes what will happen is just through some conversations and maybe a few suggestions, you can encourage the teacher to continue making his or her own decisions in how the activity or the materials or whatever it is that you're suggesting, however they want to implement it, that they make those decisions as much as possible. They may want you to decide, okay? They may want you to make some of the decisions about what it is that you're suggesting. So I would suggest to you is to try, again, to encourage them to make those decisions themselves, and then only choose or only make those decisions as the researcher, as kind of a last case scenario, maybe the last option if they just are not either able or willing to make those decisions, then you can, you can decide for them. But again, that's really the least desirable, because you want them to try to make as many decisions as possible. Realize that when you do an intervention, that conversation that you're having with the teacher is very much part of your study. It's another data source. Those recorded interviews that you're having where you're intervening, you're going to analyze what you said and how they responded, and then subsequently what they did in class through your classroom observations and maybe even subsequent interviews. You're going to bring all that data together to try to make sense of it later on. So again, make sure that all of your interviews are recorded, all of the classroom observations are recorded, and basically you want to try to record everything so that you can later do the full analysis. Regardless of whether you do an intervention or not, triangulate your data sources when doing a qualitative study. Avoid presenting any data unless you have at least one, preferably two, other additional data sources to compare it to. That is, you need at least two minimum, preferably three data sources to discuss any particular item that you're analyzing. Okay, so this, try to keep that in mind whenever you're collecting your data. Try to keep this in mind when you're deciding on the order. The order is going to be very much dependent on your research questions and your overall objectives of your research study. So if you are comparing in with your classmates to see how they're collecting their data, it may or may not be similar. They may be needing to, for example, do observations first and then apply a questionnaire. In some cases, it's going to be more appropriate to apply a questionnaire first and then maybe do some observations and then an interview throughout the process, or perhaps at the end of the process. Whether or not you do student interviews could depend on if that's also part of your research questions. All right, so I hope this helps. If anyone has any questions about the data sources or the order in which you should collect the data sources, then probably we need to have a discussion. So reach out to me, and if need be, we can schedule a time outside of our tutoring session to clarify any doubts that you have. I'm Benjamin Stewart at benjaminlstewart.org.